The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into things, I do have something new to add to the show, which is now I officially have preferred sports books that you can find on my website, katietrop.net. If you just go to Sports Talk with Trop, there's a little banner at the top of the of that page that says Sports Talk with Trop, preferred sports books. And if you are into gambling at all, basically just click on that. And there's a few different apps that you can use to gamble away on. And so if that's what you're into, go ahead and sign up that way and have at it. And it's only for participating states, of course, because gambling is not legal in every state. So if you are in Texas, for example, you will not be able to participate, unfortunately, because it is not legal here as of yet. But I do have preferred sports books now, so you could go ahead and check those out if you are in a legal gambling state. So let's get right into Thursday Night Football. Went about as I expected. The Buffalo Bills got the win 24-18. Buffalo Bills got right back on track over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bucs offensively were, for the most part, very, very quiet. It looks like it was a close game, but for the most part, there was one interception by Josh Allen that really helped set up the Bucs for an easy 7 points. And it really wasn't one of those like interceptions that was necessarily on the quarterback. It was one of those that just got batted in the air, and the Buccaneers just happened to intercept it in a perfect scoring position as well. So that touchdown basically set them up. And then they had this last drive where they were able to score 8 points. But, I mean, the drive took, like, forever and a day for them to get down the field. So I kind of assumed that even if they got the ball back, that there was no way they were going to score and win this game. And that was basically how it went. The Buffalo Bills, on the other hand, their defense actually looked pretty good yesterday. That's the best they've looked since the Matt Milano injury. So they seem to be back on track. Unfortunately for them, they basically helped the Buccaneers score on that final drive for the Buccaneers, because there were a couple fourth down plays where the Buffalo Bills ended up having some penalty calls against them, and that really set the Bucs up to just keep driving. But, I mean, overall, the Buffalo Bills defense really held it down. The Buffalo Bills offense also had a pretty decent game as well. Josh Allen went 31 for 40 with 324 yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and then also a rushing touchdown. So good for the Bills to finally get back in on track. I don't know if it makes me a believer in them again yet, but hey, they really needed that win, and they got that win. Also, the Buccaneers basically look how I expected them to look. Not really good. So let's get to the rest of week 8 for this weekend. Let's get to also my head-to-head matchup with the homie Simon Ruvalcaba. Last week I went 6-7, so that brought my record up to 64-42, which puts me a game ahead of Simon now, because he went 5-8 last week and is 63-43. So I am one game ahead of him right now. So we'll see where we're at and what disagreements we may have coming into week 8. So let's go ahead and start it off with the Los Angeles Rams at my Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 6.5-point favorite. The Rams, they are very up and down. They have a solid, they have some solid players. You know, Matt Stafford's money, and then you have Cooper Kupp, who has come back from injury, and he still looks good as ever. Then you have their new receiver, Puka Nacua. He is having a great season as well. And then they also had Kyren Williams at running back, who really just was lighting it up for them offensively. Unfortunately, he's injured right now. But they do have some core guys on offense that can make some big plays, but offensive line is terrible. Then the defensive side of things, they still have Aaron Donald, but then a bunch of young guys around him. So they're still working through some things And they've had some games where they've been in it, and then they've also had some games where they've got the win. The Cowboys seem to be back on track. I kind of feel like this game is going to be a pretty dominating game for them. I think defensively, they are going to annihilate that really terrible Los Angeles Rams offensive line. And I kind of feel like Stafford's going to be running for his life all day. I don't think there's going to be any type of ground attack. And so in turn, even though he has the two weapons with Kupp and Nacua, who could make some big plays, and that's kind of where I feel like they're going to get their points that they get is just in some random big plays where the Cowboys just get blown up in coverage. But other than that, I just kind of feel like the Cowboys' defensive line is just going to annihilate the Rams' offensive line. And then the Cowboys' offense is just going to need to come out there and just take care of business, just get the few points that they're able to get. And I've got the Cowboys winning in dominating fashion, 31-17. Simon also has the Cowboys winning 27-19. Then we have the Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a half-point favorite over the Vikings at this point in time. I feel like the Packers are what they are. I never was really sold on Jordan Love, and so far he has shown he's not really that good. The Vikings, on the other hand, they finally seem to be on track. They just got that big win over the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. And defensively, they're looking pretty good. Offensively, not too bad at all either. This is a division rival, so I expect the game to still be a pretty close matchup. But I do have the Vikings getting this win 24-14. Simon also has the Vikings winning 22-15. Then we have the Atlanta Falcons at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Falcons are a 1.5-point favorite, which is really shocking to me because the Falcons are not a good team at all. The Titans aren't really blowing anybody out of the water, but they still have a lot of good players, and the Falcons are just terrible. So I have no idea how that's how they are a favorite, but they are a favorite. The Titans seem to be selling off all of their good players right now before the trade deadline. They just got rid of one of their really good safeties to the Eagles. Byard, they just traded him away. So that's kind of showing that the Titans are kind of giving up on the season, because there's even talk that Derrick Henry's more than likely going to be traded. So this is probably going to be Derrick Henry's last game in a Titans uniform is the way it's looking. But even so, I still think they're a much better team than the Falcons. So I kind of feel like the Titans are going to dominate this game 28-10. Simon also has the Titans dominating this game 31-17. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 1.5-point favorite. I feel like these two teams are playing on a similar level right now. The Colts, their season's in disarray just because of the whole quarterback situation. You know, Anthony Richardson has been injured throughout the season. And then Gardner Minshew has had to kind of fill in. And he's not a terrible quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback either. He can make some good plays, but he's not that good. Jonathan Taylor, on the other hand, he seems to be back in full force. So he's probably going to provide them a nice little spark offensively. And then defensively, they actually look pretty good. The Saints, on the other hand, defensively, they look stout. That is their bread and butter. Offensively is where they're having the problems right now. They just can't get it going, and it just seems to be falling short, even though they're still getting the wins. Who knows, maybe as the season progresses on, things will start getting better for them offensively. But even so, I feel like they are the better team. I feel like their defense is going to step up and make some big plays in this one. And I have the New Orleans Saints winning a close one, 21-19. And Simon also has the Saints winning a close one, 27-24. Then we have the New England Patriots at the Miami Dolphins. Right now, the Dolphins are a 13.5-point favorite over New England. And that's kind of what I expect. Yeah, the Patriots got a big win last week, but the Dolphins are coming off of a loss, and I just kind of feel like they're going to get back in form in this one, and I feel like they're going to just blow out the Patriots 30-14, and Simon also has the Dolphins winning this one 30-20. Then we have the New York Jets at the New York Giants. Right now, the Jets are a 3.5-point favorite. That sounds about right to me. I feel like the Jets defensively are really fucking good, whereas the Giants are in disarray in every single way. The Jets, their season has pretty much gone down the toilet since Aaron Rodgers got injured in week one. It sucks because their defense is so good, and they do have some really nice offensive weapons. So if Aaron Rodgers were playing, there's a good shot that the Jets would probably be one of the best teams in the league right now. But unfortunately for them, that's not the case because offensively, they're pretty bad. But I just kind of feel like in this game, their defense is going to step it up. They're going to do just enough on offense to get the win. I feel like it's going to be a close battle to the end, but I've got the Jets winning this one 21-14. And Simon also has the Jets winning a close one 20-17. Then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Jaguars are a 2.5-point favorite. The Steelers are just terrible on offense, but they just keep getting the wins. You know, especially because defensively, they are really damn good. TJ Watt is just a killer on the defensive side of the ball. He seems to be in on every single play. He's caused some turnovers. He's scored a couple of touchdowns. This guy is just getting better and better as the season rolls on. But the Jaguars, they look like a complete team, and they're starting to look more and more legit as the season goes on. So I feel like this is going to be a good test for them, even though the Steelers are not that good of a team to me. Defensively, they are good. And I feel like this is going to be a good test because it is on the road for the Jaguars as well. But I feel like the Jaguars are the much better team, much more consistent team. And so I have the Jaguars winning in a blowout 27-10. And Simon also has the Jaguars winning 24-17. Then we have the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders. Right now, the Eagles are a 6.5-point favorite, and the Eagles look like they're getting better each and every week. And they really have their breakout offensive game last week where they just looked completely in sync. And the Commanders are just terrible. They are just such an awful team. And while it is a division matchup, I wouldn't be shocked if it ended up being a close game, but just my gut is saying the Eagles are going to run away with this one. So I have the Eagles running away with it 28-14. And Simon also has the Eagles running away with it 27-17. Then we have the Houston Texans at the Carolina Panthers. Right now, the Texans are a 3.5-point favorite. This one is a weird game for me because I could see either team winning. I do think the Texans are the overall better team. They seem to have found their identity more. But with the Panthers, they're due for a win. I don't think they're going to go winless all season. And you can see they've been able to stay in the games with the teams that are about at their level. And I feel like the Texans are at their level. So I think this is going to be a close game. And I always hesitate to take the Texans. It feels like so many times when I take the Texans, they've let me down, and this season they actually have not, so I'm going with it just because I do think they are the better team. There is a notable matchup in this as well because this is C.J. Stroud, rookie quarterback, and then you've got Bryce Young, also rookie quarterback. Bryce Young was the first overall quarterback. Carolina had the opportunity to take Stroud if they wanted to. They went with Young instead. So there's kind of that narrative in it, but I don't really think that's going to be the deal here. I just feel like both teams are pretty equal, and I wouldn't be shocked if Carolina got the win, but I chose the Texans in this matchup 24-20. This is going to be the only time Simon and I disagree this week. He has his Carolina Panthers winning a close one, 23-17. Like I said, would not be shocked if Carolina wins this one. So we'll see. This is going to be the only difference Simon and I have this week. Then moving on to the late afternoon games, we have the Cleveland Browns at the Seattle Seahawks. Right now, the Seahawks are a 2.5-point favorite. Deshaun Watson is once again not going to be in this game. So way to go, Cleveland, for giving this dude a guaranteed $230 million to sit his dumb fucking ass on the bench even longer. But I digress. Defensively, the Cleveland Browns ain't nothing to fuck with. This team is out of their mind defensively. But so are the Seahawks. The Seahawks are a really young, scrappy team, and they also look good on the offensive side of the ball, and I think that's where the edge in this one's going to be, is that the Seahawks are going to be able to score and take advantage of Cleveland. Even though Cleveland's defense is probably going to make some big plays when they need to, I do think this is going to be a close game, but I've got Seattle getting the win in this one 20-17. Simon also has Seattle winning this one 23-20. Then we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Chiefs are an 8.5-point favorite. Denver has just looked pretty terrible for the majority of this season, and the Chiefs have looked like the defending Super Bowl champions. So even though this is a division matchup, Denver has done absolutely nothing to show me that they can even compete on the same playing field as the Kansas City Chiefs. So I actually kind of feel like this is going to be one of the blowouts of the day. I have the Chiefs winning 41-17. Simon also has the Chiefs winning a bit more closer. He's got the Chiefs winning 26-17. Then we have the Baltimore Ravens at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Ravens are an 8.5-point favorite. I just kind of feel like the Ravens are going to get on a scoring roll now. They started off the first month of football not really scoring as many points as we're used to seeing. But last week, they really opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Detroit Lions. And I think it's just going to keep moving on into this week because Arizona's terrible. So I just feel like Baltimore's going to roll in this one 45-10. And Simon also has Baltimore rolling in this one 27-9. Then we have the Cincinnati Bengals at the San Francisco 49ers. Right now, the 49ers are a 6.5-point favorite. Brock Purdy's status is up in the air because he's been in concussion protocol all week. So there's a chance he may not play. But if he doesn't play, they have Sam Darnold. And while Sam Darnold's not the greatest quarterback of all time, I feel like time and again, Coach Shanahan has proven it doesn't really matter who his quarterback is. As long as his core team is still there, they've got a shot. And I feel like Darnold's going to fit right in. And so even if Purdy doesn't play, I don't think that's going to be a deciding factor. As a matter of fact, I don't really see the 49ers losing three games in a row. Even though the Bengals seem to be getting better and better as the season wears on, and they are coming off of a bye week, so they've had plenty of time to study the 49ers and see what they're all about. Defensively, I really like what I'm seeing from the Bengals. It's offensively where their issues have lied. So I expect this to be a really good game. I expect it to be a battle. I'm really just leaning towards San Francisco because I just can't see them losing three in a row. So I have San Francisco winning a close one, 27-24. And Simon also has the Niners winning a close one, 27-21. Then Sunday Night Football is the snooze fest of the Chicago Bears versus the Los Angeles Chargers. Right now, the Chargers are an 8.5-point favorite. The Bears are just an absolutely dreadful team. Yes, they got a win last week, but whoop-de-fucking-goddamn-do. I kind of feel like the Chargers in this one, I feel like this is going to be a good get-right game for them because the Bears are just so terrible, and the Chargers really haven't had a dominating game just yet this season, and I feel like this is the perfect time to do so. So I just kind of see the Chargers going off offensively and taking care of business defensively, and I've got the Chargers winning in a blowout 35-13, and Simon has the Chargers winning a little bit of a closer battle 23-17. And then the Monday Night Football matchup is the Las Vegas Raiders at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 7.5-point favorite. We have no idea if Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be playing in this one. Even so, I don't really think it matters. Detroit's coming off of a terrible loss. I still think they're a good team, so I feel like they're just going to get right. And Vegas, they have no identity whatsoever, especially on the offensive side of things. So I feel like Detroit's going to blow out the Raiders in this one 40-13. And Simon also has Detroit winning this one 34-24. All right, and now it's official. Today is the kickoff of the World Series. The matchup I'm sure all of us had at the beginning of the season, that would be the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Texas Rangers. Yeah, I'm sure we all had that to start the season. As a matter of fact, the funny thing for me is I did have the Rangers making the postseason, that's for sure, because like I've always said about Bruce Bochy, since the day he signed with the Rangers, I said to myself, this dude's going to turn this team around, and at some point, he's going to get them to the World Series. Did not think it was going to be this quick, but hey, here we are. Bruce Bochy is that dude. And he is in the World Series yet again. He knows. He is one of the greatest managers you will ever see. He knows when to take his pitchers out. He knows when to put bullpen guys in. He knows how to perfectly set the batting order. But he also just lets his dudes be the dudes and just take care of business. That's why Bruce Bochy is so fucking successful at doing this. But the Diamondbacks, on the other hand, I thought they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So for me to see what the Diamondbacks have done, I mean, they started off the season strong. They looked like one of the best teams in the league. I mean, they were the number one team in the National League West for a long ass time until the Dodgers finally got their act right in the second half. And then it just started to slip away from them. But still, the Arizona Diamondbacks hung in there and hung in there. And their starting pitching is one of the best in the league. And it's not even just their starting pitching, too. Their bullpen is excellent. And then you take a look at it, and their batting order has been getting it done against some really, really good-ass pitchers. So this is what I meant, though, when the baseball playoffs started. And I said, what I love most about the baseball playoffs is there's so much parity. And this is it. We've got the number 6-seeded Arizona Diamondbacks playing the number 5-seeded Texas Rangers. I mean, that's practically unheard of in football. Like, I don't think that's ever even happened where we've had a number 6 seed play a number 6 seed in the Super Bowl. Yes, we've had lower ranked seeds show up in the Super Bowl and even win the Super Bowl, but usually they're playing up against the number 1 and number 2 seed in the opposing conference. So it's very rare when you see the bottom feeders make it all the way to the World Series. You see them fuck shit up for people, but here they are. And like I said, nobody could have predicted this shit. And so here we are. And I do think both of these teams are evenly matched. I mean, they both can get hot behind the plate. They are excellent. I mean, Adolis Garcia, this guy has had such a phenomenal season, and he hasn't fallen off once. As a matter of fact, he's gotten hotter. He was the ALCS MVP. He has the record now for the most RBI in the postseason. Like, this guy is just nuts. So the Rangers just, they could score a lot of runs, but so can the Diamondbacks. But then, like I said, starting pitching, now that the Rangers have Scherzer back, they got a top-notch starting pitching staff. So do the Diamondbacks. Now, where the Diamondbacks have the edge is in their bullpen, because the Rangers' bullpen has been very, very shaky. And that's where the Diamondbacks have really, really been good this entire postseason, is they have gotten to everybody's bullpen. So is that going to be a deciding factor here? But you know what? I keep saying it. Bruce Bochy's the dude. I can't pick against Bruce Bochy. He won my San Francisco Giants 3. Count them, 3 World Series. 2010, 2012, 2014. The guy is money in the postseason. And he's excellent at what he does. And the Rangers have just felt like the team of destiny since the playoffs began. So I can't do it. I can't pick against the Texas Rangers again. I've picked against them, I think, in every single matchup except for the Rays. I picked them against the Rays, I believe. But I didn't pick them any other time. And so I am picking the Rangers to win it all. I've got the Rangers winning in 6 games. But I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I would not expect the Diamondbacks to win this one. Just take it all. But for me, I just can't pick against Bruce Bochy. The dude is money this time of year. He just knows what he's doing, and this team is just on fire. They've been excellent since the postseason started, and while the Diamondbacks have also been excellent, the Rangers have just, boom, smoked every single opponent that they've gone up against so far, and I can't pick against my dude Bruce Bochy. So I do have the Texas Rangers finally winning their first World Series in their history this season. I got them winning in 6 games. Now, I will say, for Major League Baseball, they're probably not excited about this matchup, because it's probably going to be one of the lowest rated World Series of all time, because both of these teams are just niche teams. I mean, the Rangers are only popular here in Texas. Don't get me wrong, they are huge here in Texas. The Rangers and Astros fans are for fucking real. They are not bandwagon fans, because I moved here in 2007 and neither of these teams were winning shit when I moved here. So, and I've been seeing their fans ever since. Even before the Astros started winning World Series, I saw Astros fans. So both of those teams are big, but they're only big here. I mean, if you notice in the playoffs, the Rangers and the Astros usually were the first game. And it has nothing to do with time zone. It has to do with ratings. And it's just because they're not very popular teams outside of Texas. Same thing with the Diamondbacks. As a matter of fact, they don't even have legit fans in Arizona because it's been amusing me all season long. They've had one of the top teams in the league, and they've barely been able to fill the fucking stands this season, except for the playoffs. They have showed out for the playoff games, so I'll give it up to those fans. But for the most part, Diamondbacks fans are very, very few and far between, even in Arizona. So this is going to be a very low-rated World Series because there's not a lot of interest outside of Arizona and Texas. But I'm going to enjoy it. I like me some good baseball. I don't even need my team to be there. I don't need to even really be interested. I've actually enjoyed this entire playoff run. I mean, for the Diamondbacks to push it to 7 games against the Phillies with the way the Phillies were playing, whew, I mean, that says a lot. And I've enjoyed this baseball playoff so far. So I can tell I'm probably going to enjoy the World Series. Like I said, I love Bruce Bochy. So I'm going to be happy to see him win a fourth ring. I'd rather see him do it with the Giants, but whatever. He's going to do it. He's going to do it with the Rangers instead. And then in some other baseball news, another old Giant is officially retiring. Dusty Baker, the manager of the Houston Astros, after the Astros lost in the ALCS to the Texas Rangers, Dusty Baker announced he is officially done with baseball. I will apologize to Dusty Baker. I made him about 10 years older in the last episode when I was laughing about his getting thrown out of the game and throwing the big-ass temper tantrum he did. He's actually 74 years old. I said he was like 84. So sorry about that, Dusty. I made you older. But still, a 74-year-old man getting pissed off the way you got pissed off at that umpire. Shit, man, that shit was hilarious. And very unexpected, but maybe that's why you're retiring, because you're like, shit, man, a 74-year-old man can't be throwing these temper tantrums anymore. But anyways, one of the greatest baseball people ever. And I say baseball people because, of course, he used to be a player as well. The dude has literally spent 50 years of his life in Major League Baseball as a player and a manager. He's won a World Series as a player. He's won a World Series as a manager. He has taken every team he's managed to the playoffs. They've all won divisions. He's taken a couple to the World Series. He's won a World Series. He has just been baseball. And mad respect from me, of course, because, you know, he was a manager of the San Francisco Giants for a long time. Actually, for most of my childhood, that's who was managing the Giants. And then, of course, he played for the Giants before I was born. So, but he is a Giant. And so it's just like he's a dude who I've always respected. But he's well respected throughout the entire sport of baseball because he is baseball. This dude has loved baseball, and he's achieved it at every single level. And he's going, even though he didn't win the World Series this year, he's still going out on top. He did a great job with the Houston Astros. So let's just do a little bit of a rundown of his career and just a few of his achievements. He made his debut in Major League Baseball on September 7th of 1968 with the Atlanta Braves as an outfielder, and he just now retired in 2023. So that just, and his in-between being a player and a manager wasn't a long, I think it was like 5 years, maybe even less than that. So he hasn't been away from baseball for that long. Even when he was away from baseball, he was an announcer. So the dude has never been away from baseball. So he played for the Atlanta Braves, then he played for the Los Angeles Dodgers, then the San Francisco Giants, and then ended his career with the Oakland A's. Then he became a manager with the San Francisco Giants in 1993. Then he went on to manage the Chicago Cubs, the Cincinnati Reds, the Washington Nationals, and the Houston Astros. As I said, he took all of those teams to the playoffs. He won division titles with all of them. He took the Giants to the World Series, which was one of the most heartbreaking World Series of all fucking time. The Giants lost in horrible fashion in 2002. Then he also took the Houston Astros to 2 World Series. They lost one a couple years ago, and then they won last year. Like I said, he's just been at the top of his game his entire time. He won a World Series as a player with the Dodgers. He won a World Series with the Astros as a manager. See, he's just accomplished everything at every level, and it's just thank you so much for the memories, Dusty. You were an excellent manager, and I'm sure you were a great player, too. I just am not old enough to know what you did as a player, but Shout out to you. Maybe you will actually retire, but who knows? Because it happens a lot with these longtime baseball guys is they'll retire and then somebody will bring them out of retirement in a couple years. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Dusty back in baseball, but you know, if he doesn't want to come back, who can blame him? All right, moving on to a little bit of NBA news because the NBA has finally kicked off this week. We've had some really good games to start off. You know, Damian Lillard made a huge splash with the Bucks last night, dropping 39 points in a win. The Lakers got their asses kicked by the Nuggets, but had a nice game against the Suns last night. But there's also nothing changed with James stupid-ass Harden and his little drama story here. So, dumbass Magoo, that's what we're going to call James Harden, dumbass Magoo. He decided, oh, now I want to play, now that the season started. And he showed up on the first day of the season and expecting to board the plane with the rest of the team. And the Philadelphia 76ers security team was like, no, you get to stay behind, dude. You are not coming with us on the road. You could stay here and pout or do whatever it is the fuck you want to do here. But you ain't coming with us on this road trip. Stay back. So the James Harden drama with the Philadelphia 76ers just gets even more and more convoluted and stupid as the days go on. I don't know why the Sixers haven't traded this idiot as of yet, but you got to think it's coming any day now since they don't even want him playing for the team. So that news is happening right now. So we'll see what happens and develops with the 76ers and James Harden. But I will say, I can't blame them for turning his ass away just because, you know what, at this rate, I kind of feel like he's just the cancer to the team. Why let him fuck up any of the flow that's happening right now with the team? It's the beginning of the season. Get him the fuck out of here. That's all I got to say. All right, and we're going to round out today's show with my recap on my baseball predictions at the beginning of the season. I always do this usually once we hit the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, and the World Series. I always like to recap who I thought was going to win it all because it's always funny to just look back on that because usually myself and everybody who makes these predictions at the beginning of the season, we're usually really, really wrong. It's very rare when any of us predict the end of the season. I mean, really. I want to know who predicted the Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Texas Rangers at the beginning of the season. I doubt anybody did. Anyways, so this is how I thought the season was going to play out for baseball. So let's start in the American League. I thought the number one overall seed was going to be the New York Yankees. Well, that stupid loser team didn't even make the playoffs this year. As a matter of fact, they were a terrible team. They finished in last, I believe, in their division. Last, second to last, it don't matter. They were one of the worst teams all season. So I was completely wrong on that. Then I had the Houston Astros finishing in second place, so I wasn't too off with that. Then I had the Chicago White Sox finishing in third place. That wasn't a terrible pick, but they also did not make the playoffs. Then I had the Cleveland Guardians finishing in fourth place, did not make the playoffs. Then I had the Toronto Blue Jays finishing in fifth place. They did make the playoffs and finished about there. And then in sixth place, I had the Texas Rangers. And so they did actually have the number five seed. So I thought that was going to happen with the Rangers. They were going to just get right into the playoffs, and they did. Then in the National League, I had the Atlanta Braves as the number one overall seed. So I was right there. Then I had the Dodgers as the number two overall seed. I was right there. Then at number three, I had the St. Louis Cardinals. Turns out they were one of the worst teams in the league, so I was completely wrong there. And at number four, I had the San Diego Padres, also one of the worst teams in the league, so I was completely wrong there. That's what I get for taking the Padres. I should know by now, you don't fucking take the Padres. That loser team has to prove something, and they ain't proven shit yet. So why did I even think the Padres were going to do shit this year? Then at number five, another team that usually never achieves anything, the New York Mets. They didn't achieve anything. As a matter of fact, they just ended up selling off all the good players they ended up signing in the offseason. So, and they didn't make the playoffs. And then rounding out the National League at the number six seed, I had the Philadelphia Phillies. So that was about right there. I was pretty much wrong. Let's see, in the American League, I had three right. And then in the National League, I had three right. So I was about half right there. So I thought the American League, the ALCS was going to be the Houston Astros versus the New York Yankees. I was half right about that. And then I thought the NLCS was going to be the San Diego Padres versus the Atlanta Braves. And I was completely wrong about that. And then I thought the World Series pick I had was the New York Yankees versus the Atlanta Braves, with the Yankees winning it all. So I had a lot riding on those dumbass Yankees, and they let us all down. They didn't even show up for shit. So that's how I thought the baseball season was going to turn out. And here we are, Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Texas Rangers. Who'da thunk? So World Series begins tonight. So we got that. We've got a ton of college football on tap this weekend. And we've got basketball now in the loop. And then, of course, we got the NFL. So we have us a jam-packed weekend full of sports. So enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you all on Monday.